Well, NFL coaches, GMs, and scouts have told us what they think now. According to ESPN, Patrick Mahomes, top quarterback in the league, Josh Allen would be 2, then Joe Burrow 3, and Lamar Jackson 4. Jaden Daniels rounding out the top 5. Again, that's according to a new ESPN survey of the NFL the decision makers, Pearl, would have Burrow over Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, listen, last year Burrow was 2. I totally understand it. I can see the NFL coaches. If I was going to start a team today, I'd probably take Burrow.
So I actually have Burrow even higher. Like, I don't have him 4. I have him, like, 2.
He was 2 last year. He's 3 now.
Yeah, see, last year it was a disaster for the Bengals, but not because of Burrow.
You know, Burrow had an all-time year last
year.
Yeah,
right. So he's putting up these incredible numbers, and they don't make the playoffs. I've put that on the GM. I put that on the coaches. I put that on the defensive coordinator got fired. Lou Anarumo, who had been like a godlike figure in Cincinnati because of how he's able to stop Patrick Mahomes in the past. But I can't put it on Burrow's having this great season. And then the defense, they're scoring 33 points a game and losing because their defense was just that porous. I think Burrow, as far as like scariest, and I don't want to see him, I think that Burrow, you know, has not just proven it by getting to the Super Bowl, but being able to go into Arrowhead, which is something that Josh Allen hasn't been able to do in the playoffs, and Lamar Jackson hasn't had the opportunity in the playoffs, but hasn't been able to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs either.
Yeah, I mean, for the Bengals, you can't put it on their GM because they don't have one. You can put it on their cheap owner who will not pay anybody.
Yeah,
and like he's trying
Duke
to save
Tobin, cash. I guess.
Yeah,
like,
but no,
whatever.
Duke Tobin's awesome. He's actually a genius. Did you see that Mike Brown interview? Like, they're not going to pay anybody. They
paid Burrow, they paid Chase, they paid Higgins.
Yeah. They paid Trey Hendrickson. I mean, they've let a lot of good defensive players out of the building. So Duke Tobin has his hands tied. Like, he knows what he's doing, trust me. But anyway, that's the thing. The team around Burrow stinks. So that's why I think Burrow gets some love. One thing, Burrow's numbers are a little inflated because he can throw a 5-yard screen pass to Jamar Chase that ends up being an 80-yard touchdown.
Right.
So there's pros and cons on each side. The con with Lamar Jackson is he has not won in the playoffs. And I think this is good. If Lamar Jackson's mad about this rating, there's only one way to improve it. He should go out there and win the Super Bowl. He has to. Even more than Josh Allen, because Josh Allen is single-handedly carrying the Bills. There's other good players. Lamar Jackson has Derrick Henry right now running for 1,900 yards. He's got a famous defense. He's now got a good receiving core. He's got Mark Andrews, who until the title game was good last year. He's got Isaiah Likely. I think Zay Flowers is really talented. Seems like a total knucklehead.
Yeah.
But there's so much around Lamar Jackson. It's now or never. And hopefully this is a wake-up call and he does this thing.
So it's funny about, you mentioned Joe Burrow. Like, does he get more credit because the Bengals are notoriously and historically cheap organization that's never been able to really, you know, has gotten criticism? Or does he get less credit because he's got Chase and he's got T. Higgins, who maybe like is as close to a 1 for a second receiver? You know, the guy's incredibly effective, and he would have gotten a huge contract on the market had he actually gone to the market. So I don't know. I tend to think that Joe Burrow gets a little bit of a boost because of what he does with that terrible defense, even though he has Chase. And I kind of understand. He also has a 5-2 record in the postseason, where Lamar Jackson has a 3-5 record. And Lamar didn't particularly play well. Now, it's not that Lamar Jackson never gets acknowledged. He's won 2 MVPs. Burrow hasn't won any. But I understand. But if it were me, I wouldn't even have Burrow at 4. I would have him at 2. I think it's Mahomes 1, Burrow 2. I mean, and I love Josh Allen. You guys know I got my whole Bills corner here. And he's amazing to watch play. And it's fun to root for him, but I gotta call how I see it. I think Burrow is the more dangerous quarterback.
I mean, listen, Peyton Manning has the most MVPs in NFL history, right? Nobody thinks he's better than Tom Brady. So, I mean, maybe actually there are some people, and during their heyday, yes, but the MVPs alone doesn't prove anything. It's the same in NBA. I mean, listen, it's kind of like Mahomes is like LeBron or Jordan. He could have won like MVP every year. Even when his numbers aren't good, still beat that guy in the playoffs. By the way, notice we're not arguing about that argument, even though Mahomes' numbers were not good last year.
It's a given to me that he's number 1. Is that wrong?
No.
Yeah, it's like we know it. We realize it.
What if Hurts beats him again in the Super Bowl?
Jalen Hurts can barely crack the top 10. I don't know why, but he can barely crack the top 10 in this ESPN list. And I think also in some people's minds as well, just to give you the heads up here. So it's obviously Mahomes 1, Allen 2, as I said. Burrow is 3. Lamar Jackson is 4. This is according to, this is the word I was looking for earlier, Cognoscente. That's what I was looking for. The NFL Cognoscente. Jaden Daniels is 5. You've got Matthew Stafford at 6, Justin Herbert at 7, Jared Goff at 8, Jalen Hurts 9, and Baker Mayfield is 10. EJ, you think Lamar Jackson over Joe Burrow, it's not even close.
Yeah, I think this is wildly disrespectful. I mean, since Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson's won 2 MVPs. He's been a 3-time all-pro first-team quarterback.
Right.
I mean, he's been as elite as they come. And, yes, he hasn't played as well in the postseason. That is fair. Joe Burrow, in most of these years, hasn't been in the postseason, or at least 2 of these years, hasn't even been in the postseason. Some of that's been injury, but that also comes into a factoring who's the better player, who do you want on your team, and some of it has been just performance. The Bengals were a team last year, did not make the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, he basically came on the scene, and the Ravens were a playoff team. I think that, I know we talk about postseasons everything, but you got to give yourself a chance. You got to get there.
I think Burrow came on the scene and made the Bengals a playoff team instantly too. He got them the Super Bowl in his first full year as a starter.
No, his first full year as a starter, he got hurt. They didn't make the playoffs.
His first full year as a starter.
Right, he was starting week one his first year.
No, it was like full year. I'm going to say, like, the first time he got in like 16 games, he got them playoffs. Like, he made them an instant contender.
His first healthy year, you want to say.
Yeah, healthy.
Full year.
Yeah, I mean, fine. But, like, again, like, it wasn't like he got hurt, and that's unfortunate, but that is a part of the sport. And there have been healthy years where he's been healthy and they didn't make the playoffs, like last season. So I think that we say we value winning, but, like, winning what? Okay, we went to the Super Bowl, but then we lost, so then we value that?
Or yeah, we value playoff.
Or do we value winning a championship?
Well, I mean, listen.
Because Lamar Jackson has won playoff games. He won last year.
Lamar was brilliant. Yeah, he won one playoff game last year. Like, come AFC title game, Burrow and Lamar were in the same spot. Like, Lamar's got to do better in the postseason. But you'll admit that, right?
So, of course.
I think that EJ is right to point out we're inconsistent with how we rate guys, because for some guys, the regular season means a lot. And for some guys, it's only about the playoffs. But I think it's almost a compliment. If you are a top 5 quarterback, let's take Jaden Daniels out of it for this purpose. But if you're one of these top 4 guys, of course you're only getting really judged by the postseason. You know, like, that's it. And maybe, you know, there's other guys who are going to feel pressure in the postseason. Jared Goff might be one. Brock Purdy would be another, because your teams are good and you're expected to do a lot. But for these 4 guys who are the quarterbacks of this generation, you know, I'm going to put Stafford a little bit older. But the 4 guys of this generation, it's only about Super Bowls.
But let me ask you a question.
You know, so where regular season's is just a given.
Right, that's why you wouldn't even consider putting Lamar Jackson over Mahomes, even though Lamar Jackson's won 2 MVPs in the last whatever years. Yeah. And he probably should have won a 3rd last year if it's a total regular season award. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in his prime. Like, Aaron Rodgers was dominant and incredibly talented, but again, a distant 2 to Brady, right? I mean, I just think it's not just about being incredibly talented. But EJ, though, it sounds like you're not really into Burrow at all. Don't you think he's fantastic?
I think he's a superstar. I think he's great. I just think that, like, I'm not a guy. I want to see what you did right now. I'm not a what you did 3 years ago and what you did 4 years ago. And I'm trying to go back to things you did in the past. I want to see what you've done recently.
But he's coming off his best season by a mile statistically.
Right. But they did not make the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson played against them and they beat them. They beat them head to head. Like,
yes.
Again, what do we judge them on? We're going to judge them on what Joe Burrow did 3 years ago or what I saw between Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow last year? They played 2 phenomenal games. But Lamar Jackson won those games.
I know.
And now I got to say the other quarterback's better?
No, but I mean, the one thing about that is I think the regular season matchups, sometimes you can't go to that when we're talking about these guys are so elite. Like, I can't bring up that Josh Allen has beaten Patrick Mahomes in regular season matchups because you guys would laugh me off the show. It's like, I just think this is the standard for these guys is just so high that even the regular season matchups, while fun and exciting when we're doing it, they're not legacy defining like
the
postseason matchups
would be. For the Cincinnati Bengals, those games were playoff games. They had no choice but to win those games. Like, it's like when we talk about judging these games and saying, well, they don't matter. Then what are we doing? Bengals, Nate Eads win both of those games, and they lost. They lost close games, high-scoring games, and a big reason why they lost was because Lamar Jackson was unstoppable. And then we're just going to say, well, sorry, even though you won the game and you beat the team with the other quarterback that we say is better than you, you're still worse.
I just watched the documentary Quarterback, and those two games in particular were the two examples of how the Bengals let Joe Burrow down. Because Joe Burrow led the Bengals into field goal position in the first game, and Money McPherson, missed it. So that was clearly on him, 100%. And then the next game, they drive down, and Burrow has this incredible drive inside the game, and they missed a two-point conversion, which was, I guess, on Burrow. But, like, Burrow could not have done anything more in those games. Yeah, Lamar was amazing, too. But there's no way you could critique Burrow after those two games. He was unbelievable. He was perfect.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If you had to start a franchise, you could only pick either Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow. Who would you take? Derek is in Baltimore. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
How you doing? Hey, I'm with EJ. Listen, I'm not a homer because I'm a 49ers fan. I'm not a Ravens fan. It is Lamar Jackson by far. I am so sick of this glazing that everyone does for Joe Burrow. 3 years, missed the playoffs, three out of his first 5 years. Stay injured, come back player of the year twice. That's not an award players want to win.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in a row, you missed the playoffs. And this is a guy who has arguably the best receiver in the league, arguably the best number two receiver in the league. Are we forgetting about T. Higgins? Everyone's focused on Ja'Marr Chase, and I get it. T. Higgins can go anywhere and start. And I get the defense and what everyone's saying. But if you're supposed to be so great and you're this elite quarterback, aren't you supposed to overcome that? And how can you be a great quarterback if you've never made an all-pro team? That's for one. I'm sorry. I don't have some top three. I honestly don't even have some top four because as of right now, put some respect on Jalen Hurts' name. I don't care who he's played with. The man has won the two Super Bowls, won one, played great in both. How long are we going to keep talking about the 2021 season?
Yeah.
We can't keep harping on that.
It's crazy.
Listen, I'm a 49ers fan. I can't keep harping on the Debo season of 2021. It's not happening again. It happened. It's over with. And this is the only reason why I think people put Joe Burrow on such a high pedestal, because he went to Arrowhead and won. To me, I got him as probably the second overrated quarterback in the league outside of the guy with the Chargers.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Justin Herbert.
Those guys are overrated. Joe Burrow, he's not bad. He's a very good quarterback.
he's definitely not bad.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
We cannot keep saying elite and great because elite great quarterbacks do not miss the playoffs 2 years in a row.
But Derek,
you guys have been watching football.
No, you've been watching football long enough to know that when your defense is as trash as the Bengals were last year, what more can Joe Burrow do?
Okay, that's for when they start. That was all on defense. Burrow had nothing to contribute with that. Week one against the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Burrow was horrible. I mean, it's not as if that 4-8 start was all on the defense. Okay? You cannot be considered great. And you're telling me he's over Lamar? If you give Lamar Jackson, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins,
right,
man, he throws for almost 5,000 yards minimum, and it's not even close.
I know, but if you gave Joe Burrow a good defense, where could they be? Like, we can do this, Derek, all day long. I want to let you make a 49ers point, too, because you said you're a huge 49er fan.
Yeah, so as
about
far
McCaffrey.
As the Christian, the McCaffrey thing, he's at the tail end of his career. If I'm Shanahan, and I don't think Shanahan's going to do it, listen, 20 touches max. That's it. We need him more for December and January versus September and October.
Yeah.
If you run this guy into the ground, just like you did last year when he came back, Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing when McCaffrey came back. And as soon as McCaffrey comes back, you bench Mason, you run McCaffrey into the ground again, and then that's when he had the injury versus Buffalo. We don't need to run through him. The history of Shanahan is running back by committee.
Yeah.
We don't need to force feed McCaffrey 25, 30 touches. He's had a bunch of injuries in Carolina. He had the third injury with San Francisco. Let's give him 15 to 20 total touches. Let's save him for the long haul, because with this easy schedule we have, and I don't want to say easy because no game is a gimme, but we can use Isaac Garrido. We can use, we just drafted another running back. Let's put the workload on those younger guys,
Derek,
because we need McCaffrey for the long haul.
I'm with you. Thank you for the call. A couple things. I'm with Derek on load managing certain players during the season. I hate it in the NBA. I'm for it when it comes to the NFL.
For a running back.
Yeah, running back, definitely.
Well, you can't really do it in most other positions.
Oh, well, you know how I feel about load managing Joe Flacco. I think the Browns should save him for the end of the year, but you and I will argue about that another time.
Well, the Browns are probably going to start at 1-5, so the end of the year is going to be sometime in mid-October.
Maybe.
But they're going to start focusing on next year's quarterback. But the I get it with running back. I might be dead wrong. Like, I don't even think McCaffrey's going to be that explosive. Like, I bet you Isaac Garrido has more 80-yard runs than he does this year. So Isaac Garrido can outright fly. I just think that he's an older running back. I don't quite get this whole thing.
Well,
unless he finds a fountain of youth. Like, maybe he's Derrick Henry and I'm totally missing it. I just don't think he can be the dominant guy he was in Carolina and like 2 years ago in San Francisco. He's worn down a bit.
Well, we asked you, does Christian McCaffrey need to play like an MVP candidate for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl? And 89% of you said yes. So you guys might say aging quarterback, you got to phase him out or load manage him or whatever. But the reality is I'm with the public on this one, which is he's got to play great because of what he does for Purdy. You can't be asking Purdy to, you know, try to go out and be a Lamar Jackson type or a Joe Burrow type. It's just that's not where you're getting the best Purdy.
Yeah, I don't see the Niners that way. I mean, obviously last year they were terrible when their left tackle when Trent Williams was out. They used to be terrible when Debo was out. Now then Debo got old last year, so he's irrelevant. And they're really bad when Bosa's out. Now, they're also bad when McCaffrey's out. I just think there's a lot more going on. It's a much more dynamic team than just Christian McCaffrey. You probably have the highest paid coach. I don't know what Shanahan's salary is. You have one of the most well-thought-of offensive coaches, one of the most well-thought-of defensive coaches. You got Hall of Famers all up and down your lineup. You need Christian McCaffrey to be an MVP to do this? Seems odd to me.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Then the question about Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson. If you were to start your team and you could only have one of the guys, who would you want? And are we living too much in the past, I guess, with Joe Burrow? The recent past, obviously.
Past? Well, he's 26.
I don't know. I mean, EJ's saying we can't go off of 3 years ago when he was in the Super Bowl. You got to go with now. And to be fair to Burrow and Lamar, Burrow's missed years because of missed the playoffs because of injury, but so is Jackson. I mean, Lamar missed back-to-back seasons where he did not play in a playoff game because he got hurt at the end of the year. To his credit, he has totally turned that around.
Right. One of those years, they weren't that good, though, right? That was early.
So these are the 1 year when Snoop Huntley played in a playoff game. So I'm talking about 2022 and 2023.
Oh, he was out 23? I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was out at the end of the year. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, lots to do, including... we've got an update for you that ties into tonight's Home Run Derby. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. Okay, I think I'm about to get in some trouble here on our next segment. Okay. We're doing a Coaches on the Rise, Football Coaches on the Rise. And I am very tempted to break rules and have already successful guys who I'm claiming are on the rise. Like, define on the rise.
It's like porn, you know, when you see it. No.
Okay.
A coach on
yeah,
the rise.
Exactly.
I mean, not Kirby Smart.
Okay.
Not Steve Sarkisian. Not anyone who's like made the playoff, whether it's four teams or 12.
Let's start with the NFL though.
Okay.
If the coach has made the playoffs, is he already risen?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
It's the NFL. Yes. If you made the playoffs, you're a known commodity.
Well, I mean, like most of the coaches have made the playoffs at one point or other.
Was this that hard of an exercise?
Well, I went with D'Amico Ryans and I was so excited
D'Amico
about
Ryans. He was
on the rise. He's super young and he's really never done anything in the playoffs except beat the Chargers.
Well, he's won two playoff games.
He's 40. He's still one of the five youngest coaches in football.
All right, so let's do coaches on the rise in a proper way here. We got NFL and college, part of our NFL and college superlatives, which we'll be doing all week long. So what would you like to do?
I go D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico Ryans, because he was getting held back by his offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, has a new offensive coordinator in from the Rams. They're going to fix their blocking schemes for C.J. Stroud, because I don't think it was the talent. I think it was their coaching was all messed up. They'll actually throw the ball on first down once in a while, and I think they are a sleeping giant. And there was this sort of report about C.J. Stroud's elbow that C.J. Stroud just got to minicamp and laughed about.
Yeah, I know.
So I feel like the Texans are loaded. They are taking full advantage of C.J. Stroud's rookie salary, and they are loaded around him. And I think D'Amico Ryans is finally going to recreate the Niners' defense. Their defense is going to be ferocious this year. And that's why I say he's on the rise. I don't think he's really had his team in place. And this year, it's going to be a dominant team, especially defensively. So that's why I consider him sort of, we haven't really seen the full effect yet.
Okay, it's fine. I'll give it to you. Here's the other thing, though, about the Houston Texans. You blink, and all of a sudden, we're in the last year of C.J. Stroud being cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be year three, and what's going to happen after year three? He's going to get a massive contract. Now, it probably won't kick in for another year, but it's going to be breaking records. So you're talking about trying to win with this rookie quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're halfway through that.
Well,
I just major pressure on them to win.
Maybe pressure, but look at that talent. He's got Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter killing quarterbacks, and Stingley. He's got so much talent on defense. I think it's going to be really good. Also, I actually think he's a really good coach. He needed some time to figure things out. I definitely have seen him make major, major mistakes. I think he's going to be much better as a coach, too. And he's 40. I mean, come on. You learn the game. How, except for Sean McVay, has anyone at that age really ever gone as far as, there's a learning curve at NFL coach. I think he is on the upswing big time on that. That's why I'm kind of calling him on the rise. I admit I was squinting.
Yeah, I mean, he's won two playoff games. I think two, right? Okay. My coach on the rise, I went a little bit deeper here, deeper cut. Dave Canales is going to be my coach on the rise. There is absolutely no positive news really coming out of the Carolina Panthers.
Oh,
but I will give Dave Canales coach on the rise. The counting numbers for Bryce Young were kind of similar from year one to year two, but obviously the guy played much, much better. One of the biggest reasons he played better and the reason why the Panthers didn't draft over him and try to find his replacement yet is because of some of the things that he cleaned up, and I think Dave Canales was a big part of it. So the biggest one, Pearl, was the amount of sacks that Bryce Young took in year one versus year two. Year one, he took 62 sacks, which was good for 477 yards lost, just yardage lost on sacks. Second year, 29 sacks, just less than 200 yards taken on sack yardage. Like, he's just figuring things out. Four game-winning drives for Bryce Young last year as well. And according to Warren Sharp, who I know you love, Carolina Panthers have the seventh easiest schedule this year, obviously, because they've come in last place in their division. But I think Dave Canales is going to start getting a lot more attention. I don't know how many games, they're not going to be a playoff team, the Panthers, but I think he's going to get a lot more attention for sort of saving Bryce Young's early career.
So Bryce Young will be entering his, obviously same draft, yep. C.J. Stroud.
Third year.
And I agree. I think there's been a lot of positive buzz about the Panthers. Tedrick McMillan, who they got number 8 overall, it turns out everybody behind them wanted him too. It turned out to look like a very good draft pick, the big wide receiver. Let me ask you a question. Is Canales, he doesn't have to make the playoffs now, though, to show this jump, in your opinion?
No, because it's year... This is only his second season.
Yeah.
It's Bryce Young's third, but only his second. So I think you're good. I think he's good. And I think they're going to keep getting better. It's going to be an upward trajectory. We're talking about coaches on the rise. So he's my coach on the rise. All right, let's go to college. Your college coach on the rise is who?
Again, I'm totally going to...
Bill Belichick.
So...
James Franklin.
This unknown commodity.
Kirby Smart.
First year coach, Bill Belichick, you could say.
Can you keep an open mind? Can we call Shane Beamer a coach on the rise, or is that totally cheating? Because he's never won double-digit games. He's never been a contender. I think he showed last year, whoa, this guy's legit. Because South Carolina was so competitive, and we're not used to South Carolina really being in the mix. I think they're in the mix. I think they're going to be a playoff team. And obviously they have a big quarterback, Lenora Sellers. We'll see. But I think maybe it's slightly overrated for his NFL draft status as one. Lot to prove there. But I think he's got a great coach. I think Shane Beamer is going to become much more high profile this year.
I mean, he coached Spencer Rattler, who everyone really liked, kind of knew. But all right, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I mean, he coached Spencer Rattler after he was damaged goods.
I mean, okay. Spencer,
he was a third team for Spencer Rattler.
I'll go with you there. I think South Carolina is going to be a fun team, too. But, yeah, is it a coach in the SEC? Can be a coach on the rise? Yeah, I'll give it to you. Mine, again, is going to be a little more of a deeper cut. My coach on the rise is John Sumrall from Tulane. I know Bogish is a big Green Wave fan. Before that, he was at Troy, where his record was 23-4, and then gets to Tulane in the first season. Goes 9-5 in the first year, was like right there as one of the group of five teams. Obviously, Boise State ends up being the representative there with Ashton Gentry to go into the 12-team college football playoff. But I think John Sumrall is the coach to watch in that after another good season, and if there's a big coaching vacancy, he's going to be right at the top of the list.
What about this thing? Like they lost their quarterback, right? So is Tulane just going to be a feeder program?
Well, all of the AAC, yeah, you know, schools may be feeder programs. That's just the way that college football is now.
Yeah, so you're kind of implying like he'll be hot and he'll take over a big job, like, yeah, Kurt Cignetti or something.
Yeah, no, I think
at least a big conference. That's kind of a shame because you're not saying Tulane is going to really compete.
Well, they're going to compete this year, I think. But yeah, no, I think that this is going to be your next guy who's going to take be a Tulane, go from Troy to Tulane to fill in the blank, and he's going to be a big deal.
It's so funny because you don't know for a lot of these guys. I picked Shane Beamer because he has a great quarterback. So last year, I believe Sumrall had Darian Mensah, who's going to Duke, and it's going to make Manny Diaz look like a good coach this year. Like good coach.
Manny Diaz coached at Miami. Like, no, he had his shot.
No,
you know?
I know, but he's going to be like, if you get the right quarterback, like Joe Burrow or somebody, you could all of a sudden become
a coach on the rise and then a coach on the big time fall.
Yeah, you can have a great coaching year if you have. It can be about the Joes in college football. We know if you get the right quarterback, you can look really, really good.
You know, we never talked about this as a show. Is it because it happened over a weekend? Did you guys see, I think it's from last weekend, that Ed Orgeron was at a wedding?
You talked about five times off air.
Why did we do this on the show? Dude's the guy at the wedding on the dance floor, no shirt on.
Go Tigers.
And of course he is, because he would be my number one draft pick of college coaches to be on the dance floor with no shirt on.
Okay, that's not the story I knew. There's another Edo offseason story about something about very similar vein. I'll find it. Like bragging about something about taking your wife or something like that.
God.
He was talking trash.
Still doing that, huh?
Yeah, Coach. No, it wasn't that exact thing, but it was in that realm of like, I'm Edo.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. Can you imagine you win a championship at LSU, right, where they're football crazy, maybe the best atmosphere in college football, period.
I'm Joe.
You win a title, and then you're out 2 years later. I mean, it's unprecedented. I think it's unprecedented. I can't even...
Gene Chizik was like that.
Yeah, but yeah.
He wasn't as fun as Ed Orgeron, but he was the same. Like, won a title, a couple years, he was gone.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but Ed Orgeron, I
don't know.
They're kind of similar, but it's Orgeron's flame out was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was spectacular. Gene Chizik just kind of like fizzled out. And I think a lot of people thought it was Gus Malzahn was just responsible for the offense and Cam Newton. They were just so good. But Ed Orgeron, you know, catcalled a lady at a gas station, right? Mm. And it turned out to be one of the high level ranking of university officials' wives. Spectacular flameout.
But I think this is the better spot for him. Maybe he wants to coach, but I think it's safer for him to be at O unemployed. So we can enjoy it and I have to wonder if he's like compromising his job in any way.
Oh, right. So he can just be on the dance floor with no shirt on and
right.
It's fine.
And it's not about what are recruits thinking or anything like that. Like
we don't have a what does it mean?
Yeah, who's the coach getting yelled at for golfing too much in the SEC?
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze. So like that, like he can just be at O and there's no repercussions.
No, he's not getting yelled at. He's getting trolled by Lane Kiffin.
Same thing.
Yeah, same.
By the way, the funny thing about Ed O, nobody was surprised at all when he flamed out at LSU, right?
Like
That was not a shock in any way. Actually, people thought, wow, he lasted another couple of years.
Well, but he's like a native son of Louisiana, coached LSU to a title, and that still didn't buy him any good graces.
Yeah, but it felt like he came and went. It was no big deal. I don't know why. Like, do you remember being like, I can't believe Ed O is gone? That never crossed anyone's mind. I mean,
it should have.
Well, I mean, Ed O brings a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that USC team was well covered. Everyone knows there was a lot going on.
That was a memorable stint.
Yeah, a lot going on there. Let's just leave it at that.
Which is saying something for USC coaches. Let's get to Bogish. Who's got headlines?
And this is a complicated story. NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell is under fire for multiple reasons these days. First, there was an unearthed agreement between the union and the NFL to keep quiet an arbitration ruling about possible collusion over player salaries. And then we learned that Howell is a part-time paid consultant for the Carlyle Group, which is one of the few private equity firms that the league has approved for investing in teams.
Hmm.
It seems like a fairly huge conflict of interest, but the union's executive committee sent players a memo yesterday to deny reports that committee has doubts about Howell and that a union lawyer suggested he resign.
Yeah, we need this one even Joe Rogan wouldn't even touch. I mean, it's not, it doesn't seem, there seems like a pretty big conspiracy theory about how the NFLPA is sort of, the leadership is screwing over the constituents because they're drunk with power.
Wow.
Or they want to keep their own power or whatever.
Right. And these two notes are connected because the collusion, the arbitration, the players lost. They said that the owners were colluding to keep salaries down. They lost, but the judge did say, while calling them losers, that there was a preponderance of evidence that league executives like suggested to owners to give less guaranteed money in deals. And the union agreed to keep that quiet as opposed to giving it to players and agents to use to try to get more money out of ownership. So why would you do that? Well, because maybe he works for this firm that's trying to become a part owner of an NFL team.
Yeah, and what do NFL owners want to pay the players less? And this is obviously after the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract. The rest of the owners freaked out after Jimmy Haslam gave this to Deshaun. And then you got some of the evidence is like two owners talking to each other like, hey, great job on not giving that guy a fully guaranteed contract. Like, uh-oh, that looks like collusion.
Just to clarify, though, the players, they don't like the guaranteed contracts. They're going to get the same amount of money with guaranteed contracts or non-guaranteed contracts as a whole. It's just how they divide the pie is the issue.
There's no
more money coming to players with guaranteed contracts
because
48% of revenue no matter what happens.
Right, but in this particular instance, like this, what the evidence in this case is good ammo for the players in negotiations, and the union didn't tell them about it. Why would they not tell them about it? They're there to fight for the players.
Well, right. But the same total revenue goes to the players one way or the other, whether they're guaranteed contracts. I think people mess that up sometimes. I think like, oh, if, Joe Burrow gets a guaranteed contract, that means that players are getting more money. That's taking money from somebody else. That's probably part of the reason the union is not so gung-ho about this. Because there's one pie. They're just arguing about how they split it up.
Right, but you're still, but the bottom line is owners can't decide as a group to give less guaranteed money at face value. Like that was the fear at the beginning of all
this. Right. But the reason the owners don't want to do that is they don't want to get caught in the Deshaun Watson situation where now Cleveland can't spend any money because they're giving it all to Deshaun Watson.
The owners should have, they correctly all hated that. They just can't write it in text messages and group threads and then not go and then do business differently.
Right, because they never bargained for that. Like they said in the CBA, they never put in a thing. Like they have to say, hey, they have to do it in the CBA, and they never did that. Although they tried, I'm sure.
So but you're just like owners.
But just like everyone, like that's why I think people don't love this story. Mike Florio keeps saying, like, why aren't people into this? Because I think the intricacies of the CBA are very complicated.
Make your eyes glaze over. But the more interesting part is the cover up and the fact that the NFLPA, the union leadership is not working on behalf of the players, like because they try to put this guy, this is the allegations, that it was going to be like a puppet sort of placeholder so that the former lineman from the Browns could actually come in and be the union head, J.C. Treader. I don't know. It's
and they didn't want DeMora Smith because they thought he was too chummy with Goodell, and now they've got this guy who may has an actual business relationship with the league.
Oof.
Yeah.
My favorite is like the NFLPA just totally screwed over all the rookies with the rookie salary cap deal. That thing's insane. Like 5 years, you don't get paid.
Nothing, yeah.
Well, that's why. That's why people don't want to play football. But the NFL, yeah, the NFLPA's got some issues. It sounds like.
It sounds like.
The Boston Red Sox hit the All-Star break on a 10-game winning streak.
Swung on fly ball, left field deep, back to the monster. It is off the top and out of here. He does it again. He always does it.
Who knew? Seydon Rafael, a two-run homer, a 4-1 win over the Rays. Boston on this 10-game run. Now 3.5 games behind the Jays in the AL East while sitting in the second wildcard spot, a game better than the Mariners. Baseball now holds its draft during All-Star Weekend, so there was Rob Manfred on stage last night in Atlanta. The first name he called was Oklahoma high school shortstop Eli Willits. The Nationals took him instead of the consensus top picks, LSU lefty Kate Anderson or high school star Ethan Holliday. Willits doesn't turn 18 until December. He's the youngest number one since Ken Griffey Jr. Oh. Anderson, by the way, was the third pick to the Mariners for an $8.8 million bonus. And then the Rockies took Holliday fourth 27 years after drafting his dad, Matt. The Mavericks have reportedly shut down Cooper Flagg after two summer league games and a little more college realignment this morning. The Sun Belt reportedly extending an invite to Louisiana Tech, who will accept and pay a $5 million exit fee to Conference USA. The arrival date is TBD. Louisiana Tech was already in the Sun Belt until 2001 when it left for the glorious WAC. Guys, back to you.
Coming up, are we betting on the Home Run Derby? You betcha. We'll do that next. Let's bet on baseball, shall we? Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Pearl. I've got the Home Run Derby tonight, Pearl.
I have no idea how to bet this. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out who you think is going to win or who do you think is good value. So let me just give you the participants and their home run totals right now. Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, is your favorite at plus 295 and has 38 home runs. James Wood has 24. Byron Buxton, I'm sorry. Cal Raleigh is plus 295. Let's just go this way. Then O'Neill Cruz, who's got 16 home runs this year, but he's the second second highest favorite, I guess, at plus 330. Then James Wood has 24 home runs. He's plus 450. Matt Olson plus 800. He's got 17 homers. Brent Rooker plus 850. He's got 20 homers. Byron Buxton is plus 950. He's got 21 homers. Jazz Chisholm plus 1100. He's got 17. And Junior Caminero is your longest shot at plus 1200. He's got 23 homers.
So it feels to me like the Home Run Derby is often like a narrative. Like, oh, this guy is the getting all the focus. He's probably going to do it. Like, I remember, and maybe I'm misremembering, Bryce Harper won when Washington hosted the Home Run Derby.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like Cal Raleigh is the it guy.
Well, they're not hosting, though.
No, he's not hosting, but I feel like he's the narrative. Like, everyone's talking about Cal Raleigh. He's like the big dumper. He's got to be. Like, that's the guy that wins.
Oh, like he's on a heater.
He's on a heater. He's the story of the moment. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's usually the guy who wins a home run derby, but I could be wrong. That's why I was asking how do you bet this?
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, like what are the trends in the home run derby? Is it ever the least favorite guy? I've never even considered betting it before, I have to be honest.
Really? Well, as you guys know, I think I bet Jose Ramirez 5 years in a row and lost all 5 years. So thankfully, he decided not to participate so I can save myself a little bit of money. I mean, I think you go with a long shot, especially Junior Caminero. So he's
down goes Anderson.
He's got 23 home runs. Now, I understand the Rays are like playing in a minor league ballpark, but the dimensions are still the same. So he's got 23 home runs and he's the longest shot in the field. So it feels like the best bang for your buck to me.
All right. Well, I like that. Okay, good. So but you wouldn't do Cal Raleigh.
I mean, at plus 295, I guess, if you want to just go with the favorite. But Matt Olson would be the hometown guy because the All-Star game's in Atlanta.
So, and where are the other guys? Where's Pete Alonso? Where's my guy and all these classics?
They've did their time.
Yeah, I know.
The Vlad Guerrero Juniors, they've done their time.
Yeah, so. Did that ever help Pete Alonso winning those home run derbies?
No. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Before last year, when Pete Alonso was actually the hero mm-hmm. that propelled the Mets to the playoffs, he had not won a playoff game. So, yeah, no, a playoff series. No, definitely not.
I like James Wood tonight.
That's my favorite young player.
I do like James
Wood.
That
swing is beautiful.
His swing is so gorgeous, and you just give him juice balls in a BP setting. Oh, give me some James Wood.
All right. There you go. As far as like our own home run derby, we're hitting a little controversy here.
I tried something, Manny.
So before the season started, everyone, not everyone, because Kaplan didn't do it, but Manny,
EJ,
Bogish, Perloff, and myself, obviously, we all pick three players to do a season-long home run derby. And Perloff is being a sore loser. No, I'm sorry. What did you ask yesterday?
Well, I have one good player. I have Kyle Schwarber. I think he's still top six in home runs. So that was a good pick. I have Bryce Harper, who's back healthy. I'm fine with him. Marcell Ozuna has done nothing for me.
Ozuna from the Braves?
Yes. Nothing. And he's on the trade market, too, by the way, which is not good either, because like he could have hit a lot of homers in Atlanta. So I'm trying to trade him to someone else here. Maggie, if you want him.
I mean, he has 13 home runs, and I have Vlad Guerrero Jr., who has 12. But I'm going to stick with Vlad on this one, because the Blue Jays are a good team, and I think he's going to have a good second half. So, no, I'm not trading Vlad Guerrero Jr. to you for Marcell Ozuna, if that's what you're asking.
All right. Well, listen.
Is this even allowed? Are we're trading guys on our own home run derby?
Or how about a redraft where we can get we can draft a free agent and bring him in and sign a free agent?
So you can get Cal Raleigh?
No,
no one picked Cal Raleigh.
And we're not doing a redraft because I don't want to give up Shohei Ohtani, and I'm sure that EJ doesn't want to give up Aaron Judge. So we're not doing that.
Yeah, no way. Because this was about for the whole season. I think a trade deadline is fair. If you have guys, and I think, listen, if you want to go with two guys the rest of the way, you want to say, hey, listen, Soto's red hot. I'll give you two guys for Juan Soto. I think you should be able to do that. That's fine. But I don't think you should be able to add a player.
You give me Schwarber, I'll give you Juan Soto.
Nah.
Wow, really?
Really?
Well, I mean, Schwarber's my lifeline here. He might hit 55 homers.
I know, but Soto's heating up. He's got this all-star snub. I don't know. I can't say that.
What was that?
I don't know. Whatever. He's not at the all-star game.
I mean,
game.
The thing is...
it might tick him off.
I mean, that I do... I have no problem with investing in that stadium in Philadelphia. You know, not that hard to hit it out of the park. Schwarber can... I don't think he's going to totally cold. I think he's going to...
I don't know. Manny could have just been offering you the moment here. No?
You want to do that? No, I don't want to... I want to root for Schwarber. I'm not doing that.
You're letting your feelings get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, too, like, you don't pitch around him. He's up at the top of the lineup. Like, he's going to hit a lot of home runs. I have no problem.
Can't pick with emotions.
I mean,
man.
Listen, Bogus's roster is pretty terrible. Like, maybe you can get poach someone off there. That's
great. Doesn't he have Gunnar Henderson?
He has Gunnar Henderson, yeah.
Oof.
So, he has Pete Alonso. Maybe make a trade there.
Oh, yeah, because Perloff wants a roof for a Met.
Wait, is Pete Alonso, he's on a team.
He's on the Mets.
Bogus. He is on the team.
He was the last pick, I think.
Yeah. It's Bogus. He was Bogus' last pick.
Gosh, you guys all pass on Pete Alonso. I thought that was interesting.
And it seems like it was a smart move so far.
Yeah.
Well, no, lately, though, he's been a factor. Right? Oh, actually, he's pretty good. He's 12th in the league in homers.
Yeah, it's fine. I like my guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I need some help here. But I'm not in last place. I think I'm right in the middle.
But you're the one who wanted to come up with this trade.
I know, because I'm not
going to
win it. I have no upside here. I need a hot young guy.
Perloff, looking to see your grasp here.
I'm buying.
You're drowning.
I'm buying. I'm not selling.
EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. The Weedos, the coffee drinkers. See you mañana.